I make a motion she have the other knee replaced as well. Thank you, Alice. Good to have you back. Who are we? Do you know who you are? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I hope today that as we look at God's Word, that we can look at ourselves and say that we know something about who we are. Now, I have to reminisce a little bit today because I remember what my first job was going to be. Drew, you need to hear this. Nick, you and Carter need to hear this too. And all you young people up there. Looks like I'm at a Carnegie Hall down here looking up there. I was in graduation in high school at Mills Memorial Stadium in Albany, Georgia. I had just won this thing called the draft lottery. It's the reason why I'm against all lotteries. The only one I ever won, I lost. Because at the age of 18, I had been enlisted into the United States Army, and I was traveling by Piedmont Airlines to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Went through basic training, and then found myself in a platoon of 30 driving an armored personnel carrier. That's a tank without a turret. It's used to transport soldiers. Mounted on top of that armored personnel carrier was a 50 caliber machine gun. And I remember the day that the drill sergeants told us to drive out to the driving range, to the firing range. But it looked like it was 10,000 acres of just open land. And there were old deuce and a quarters, old jeeps, old water tanks, wreckers, anything that was considered non-usable, they put out in that big field for you to shoot at and practice at. I can still hear that drill sergeant. He had us paced about 75 yards apart, sitting on top of that armored personnel carrier with a 50 caliber machine gun, bullets the size of small bananas. And I can hear him saying, "The firing line is now clear. Ready on the left. The left is ready. Ready on the right is ready. Lock and load, boys. Let the fire fall." And we started firing, and the blood would rush through your veins, your hair would stand on end. That was one of the most exciting times of my life. And I remember sitting up on top of that armored personnel carrier, just having a blast, and then thinking, if we were really in combat, this wouldn't be fun. I don't know if I could do this. I want you to know that sometimes when I don't know what I want to do, or sometimes when I'm not sure who I am, I always go back. I can hear that drill sergeant saying, "Let the fire fall. Go back to who you really are. Go back to your core values, because that's what's going to get you through life, get you to the end of life, through the door called death into eternal life, where you will be with Jesus forever and ever." And with that in mind, let's take a moment and pray together. Father, I pray this morning that this message will touch the hearts and lives of everyone present. May they hear the words, not me, but hear the words. May it give us inspiration and application to live this week and be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look with me this morning at the life of a man who's been called the wisest man who ever lived, the man by the name of Solomon. And the Bible says he was so wise that people came from all over the world to find out what he knew. And the Bible tells us, and Solomon was very honest and humble about this, that he tried it all. He said, I wanted to be happy more than anything else. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be happy. So I tried everything in life. I tried lust, but it didn't work. I tried liquor, but it didn't work. I tried the gusto of life, but that didn't work. I held nothing back from myself. And the result of that was that I experienced everything that a human being could experience. And the end of that was a life of obstinance and absorbance. Solomon basically said that the wisest man who ever lived was a fool. A fool because he made the chief aim in life to please himself. And at the end of life, do you know what it will be that will bring true fulfillment in your life? Listen to what he says here. The conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandment, because this applies to every person. Now maybe you're here today. You're listening to me, you're looking at me, and you're saying, Keithan, that just doesn't work for me. Listen, in the conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God, keep his commandments, because it applies to every person. I had a captain there at Fort Bragg who said, well, he said it to all of us, but he said, Keithan, you can learn by listening, or you can learn by living. And listening is a whole lot easier way to learn. Listen today from this master teacher. And by the way, there will be a final exam one day. You'll grade your own paper. You'll decide whether you pass or fail somewhere in your life. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God. Solomon says, after trying everything, I decided to fear God. I decided to reverence God. I decided to give him chief place in my life. What's so strange is that Solomon started off right. His daddy David taught him right. But the wisest man who ever lived wanted to expand his horizons when really all he was doing was stretching his conscience. The Bible says he brought in strange women, strange gods. He attended strange parties, strange books. He assimilated strange knowledge. And after all of that, Solomon said, I can take it down life to its simplest formula. Fear God after all has been heard. Now, for those of you who have a theological education, you know that the word heard, H-E-A-R-D, in Hebrew, is not just hearing something, but rather after I have been exposed to all these things, after I have experienced all these things, after I have been involved and looked at all these things. See, Solomon just didn't tell you something he read in a book. He's telling you about all the good times he had, and he experienced all those things. And the sad thing, probably the saddest thing of his life at this point, is that he has sowed the seeds of discontentment in his children, and that spelled the ruin of his nation. Now, what is it? And why is it that Solomon is saying that to us this morning? Well, I've reached a point in my life because of my profession and because of my station in life that many times people would walk into my office or they come in my presence or they come to the house and they say something like, I've just received bad news. I've just come from the hospital. I've just come from the doctor's office. And they say that I'm not going to make it. I've got 6 weeks, 6 months, maybe 1 year. This world's going to spin, and I won't spin with it or be here. And after all of that, the stark reality of what life is all about begins to start crashing down on them. And now God has their attention. Fear God, because that is the conclusion of everything. Solomon says the reason you need to fear God is this. For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. I remember some years ago when I was in Little Washington, North Carolina, the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina asked me along with some other pastors if we would lead a group of lay people to go on a mission trip to South Africa. And so I was in Eastern North Carolina, so there was about 20 people that volunteered to go. We shouldn't have took about 10. It's hard to corral 20 people, but we did. And I remember we flew out of Greenville to Charlotte and then American Airlines to Cape Town, from Cape Town to Johannesburg, where we did some orientation, and then over to Durban on the east coast there by the Indian Ocean. We spent about 10 days doing what we were supposed to do, and then we began our trip home. And somewhere between Durban and Johannesburg, our luggage didn't follow us. And when we got to Charlotte, coming back, it wasn't there either. And so I went to the flight agent and talked to the American Airlines people, and she said, I'm sorry, there was a mistake made, but if you will go back to all the passengers, and on your ticket is a computer chip, and if you'll bring me those computer chips, I promise you tonight before midnight, we will get all of your luggage and we will deliver every bit of it to every one of your participants. And that night about 11:30, there was a knock on the door there in Smallwood, and this agent was standing there, and he had my luggage, and he said, Reverend Tucker, we have been to all other 19 homes. We have delivered their luggage. It's in their hands, and now here is yours. Thank you for flying American Airlines. Sorry that this incident has happened. Now, American Airlines was responsible for our luggage, and they were responsible for getting it back to us. But if I had been in charge of it, there's no telling where their luggage would have been. You know, what I want to ask all of you young people today, as well as adults, where have you checked your luggage? Where have you checked your hopes, your dreams, your anticipation, your bitterness, your disappointments, the positive things in life, the negative things in life, the essence of your life? Where have you checked it? Solomon says, if you've checked your luggage with Jesus Christ, He will be responsible for you and yours. But if you decide that you're going to be a self-made man and you're going to go on your way and do your thing and you won't listen, Solomon says, you're on your own and you will lose everything you have, and anything you do have will be worth absolutely nothing. So first of all, don't miss the mark. What I want you to do is make your mark. Now, how do you make your mark? Now, this is a true story, and it bears repetition. You may have heard it before. But it was a trial by fire. A young mother in Dallas, Texas. It'd been a cold weekend. The kids couldn't get out. She had a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old. They'd been cooped up in the house all week. So on Monday morning, she decided, even though the weather was still bad, she was going to get them out, and they were going to go to the Walmart to go grocery shopping. And so she loaded them up in the car, had them all in the car seats. They got to Walmart. What could go wrong in Walmart? And they hadn't been in there about 10 minutes, and the 9-year-old was over in the food section eating grapes and bananas. The 6-year-old was down in the cereal section ripping boxes open trying to get that special prize, and the 3-year-old was just mad and crying. The manager came over to her and said, ma'am, you got to do something. So she was a little frustrated, so she got them all together, took them back out to the car, and they were on their way home. And on the way home, they were going down the highway there, and she saw this sign, shoes on sale. What woman could pass a store with a shoe sale going on? So she decided, well, what could go wrong in there? So she pulled in, and they'd only been in there a few minutes, and a couple of displays were turned over, boxes flying everywhere. World War III had broke out. She was mad. She snatched those kids up, got them back in the car, and off they went again. Well, on the way home, she got to feeling bad. She said, oh, you know, it's not the kid's fault. I mean, I'm not in a good mood either. So she looked up and saw a Wendy's hamburger stand. She said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull them in and get each one of them a Happy Meal. Now, you know what a Happy Meal is. That's a hamburger, French fries, a Coke, and there's a special toy in every Happy Meal. And any kid worth their weight in gold knows which hamburger stand's got the best toy. So she got them a Happy Meal, gave one to each one of them. She pulled out of that Wendy's restaurant. She was going down the road, and all of a sudden there was a blood-startling scream in the back seat. And Susie was screaming and hollering. She pulled the car over, slammed on brakes, put it in drive, turned around and said, what's the matter? And Susie said, there's no hamburger in my bun. And by golly, that was all she could stand. That was the end of it. She turned around, threw the car in drive, stepped on the gas. When she flew off the side of the road, gravel and sand was flying. She went down the road, made a U-turn, came tearing back to the restaurant, pulled into the parking lot, took that Wendy's bag and her 3 kids, and she walked right up to the front. Now, there was a line there, but when women are mad with 3 children, they don't have to stand in line. She went to the front of the line, and she put that Wendy's bag up on the counter, and she said, I bought my daughter a Happy Meal, and there's no bun. There's no hamburger in her bun. I want a hamburger, and I want it right now. Well, the girl, obviously, maybe it was her first day at work, and she didn't know what to do. She was kind of spellbound there. And since the mother didn't get a quick response, she said, maybe you didn't hear me. I bought my daughter a Happy Meal, and there's no hamburger in her bun, and I want a hamburger right now. Well, the girl still didn't respond, so that's when the mother used the magic word. I want a hamburger, or I want to talk to your manager now. And so the girl reached up, got a hamburger, put it in her bag. The mother took the three kids in that Wendy's bag and walked right out of McDonald's. I knew y'all was a little slow, but there'll be times in your life that you're going to find out you're at the wrong place, at the wrong time, for the wrong reasons, because of wrong choices. Solomon says that sheer persistence sometimes just pays off. But the conclusion, when all has been experienced, fear God and keep on keeping His commandments. Determine that faith response is going to be something that's going to happen day in and day out. Solomon says, I started out pursuing happiness and not holiness, and I missed the mark. And if you make happiness your chief aim rather than holiness, you're going to miss the mark too, and you'll never really know the fulfillment and joy and blessings of Jesus Christ. Solomon says, if you really want to be happy, pursue God and not yourself. If you really want perpetual joy and love in your life, then pursue God, because happiness is an emotional illusion anyway. I've seen it happen many times. A young girl comes to Atlanta or to Charlotte or to Macon, fresh out of college. She comes to church, but maybe it's not as exciting as she thinks it ought to be. So she decides she'll try different ways. So she tries the bar scene, dates the wrong people at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. But she says, I deserve to be happy. I mean, I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be an old maid or a fuddy-duddy. I want to be happy. And so she gets pregnant and has that situation because the boy's too sorry to be what he ought to be. So she has an abortion, because after all, we deserve to be happy. So she does, and she has another relationship and tries another way. And finally, after multiple relationships, she does get married. Her job's not what it ought to be. And because of all the relationships, there are suspicious cells around her cervix, and she has children, and there's no way out. Premature cancer. And she says, why was I not happy? I can repeat that over and over and over again. Listen to me. You can learn by listening, or you can learn by living. As she stands before God, not to appease, not to give an excuse, because the Bible says God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Now, where does that leave us? Where am I going with all this? He was just another bum brought into the hospital. His throat had been slit. He was a bum from the Bowery. Who really cared? The nurse had barely noticed him. She had seen hundreds like him. Who really cared? He'd been injured in a 25-cent flop house. He was a drunk. He was a type no one wanted to be around or see. He was found half conscious, naked. The wash basin was dumped onto his clothing. Doctors didn't know who he was, no one special. Who cared about this drunk from the Bowery? He begged for a drink and got it. He was thrown into the paddy wagon, taken to Bellevue, and lay there 3 days and died. But all was not as it seems. In his pocket was found 38 cents and a scrap of paper with 5 words written. Dear friends and gentle hearts. Could it be a song? Yes. This bum, this 38-year-old bum who looked 75, this bum who had died alone without enough money to buy a meal, this bum had written Camptown Races, Old Susanna. Beautiful dreamer, I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair at my old Kentucky home. Stephen Foster died a drunk and a bum, but he still had a song in his heart. Listen, folks, young people, is there a song in your heart? A song that's never been sung? A song of hope? A song of life? A song of love that's never been experienced? Maybe we've been too busy to look into our hearts. Maybe you young people have been too busy to look into your heart. Do you sometimes think back, have that funny feeling? Do you think back times when you were alone? Do you still smile? Do you still dream? Do you cry over silly things? Do you remember a younger man, a younger woman, different times, different place? What is your dream? What is it? Dream that you're going to finish the course. Dream that you're going to cross the finish line. Dream that this week I'm going to be different. I'm going to do something worthwhile. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Don't let your hearts be pulled apart by past events or future events. Jesus said, keep believing that I can bring a song out of your heart. I'm still the resurrection. I'm still the life. And I want you to come to the Father and be with me. And I want you to live. Listen, I salute all of you today because of who you are and what you've done and what you are doing. But we have the ability to do so much more. I close with these words. General Douglas MacArthur was an American hero. He was the most decorated man in World War I. He led his men back to the Philippines in World War II. He was a leader in the Korean War and was fired, understandably, by President Harry Truman. But the people in America loved him and gave him the largest ticker tape parade in the history of New York City. On May the 12th, 1962, he visited the United States Military Academy for the last time. He asked the cadets to remember their motto, duty, honor, country. He asked them to follow their password, duty, honor, country. And then he concluded, the shadows are lengthening for me. The twilight is here. My days of old have vanished tone and tint. They have gone glimmering through the dreams of things that were. Their memory is one of wondrous beauty, watered by tears and coaxed and caressed by the smiles of yesterday. I listen vainly but with thirsty ear for the witching melody of faint bugles blowing reveille, of far drums beating the long roll. In my dreams I hear again and again the crash of guns, the rattle of musketry, and the strange, mournful mutter of the battlefield. But in the evening of my memory, always I come back to West Point. Always there echoes and re-echoes in my ears. Duty, honor, country. Today marks my final roll call with you. But I want you to know when I cross the river, my last conscious thoughts will be of the core, of the core, of the core. Duty, honor, country. Little did he know that he was speaking to the freshman class that would become the senior class of 1966, a class that went to Vietnam and was almost totally obliterated in a war that we lost and a war that we didn't even understand, but a class that remembered their motto, duty, honor, country. I have a dream, John said, celestial cities and streets of gold, golden strands reaching to the paths of God. I have a dream, John said, a dream of heaven, and there will be the Son of glory. I have a dream. He's too beautiful to behold. I have a dream of Jesus and angels and thousands upon thousands worshiping the Lamb of God. I have a dream that I only see in my dreams, a dream of heaven where all my dreams come true. Tell me something. Do you have a dream of heaven? Dream of Jesus, where all your dreams come true? Will you meet me on the other side, or will we be doomed strangers for eternity? I hope not. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these moments, these times together as we worship, as we pray, as we sing. We come to this point and we ask for a response, whatever that response may be. We hope that it will be yes to Jesus, who said yes to the old rugged cross. In Jesus' name, I pray.